lectionary reading for today is from the Acts of the Apostles. It's a book that reads like an adventure novel, it might have been a better name, The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And though we're not yet at Pentecost in our liturgical calendar, you'll begin to get a glimpse of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit when it touches on human hearts. And now our sermon text for the day from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. The passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself? About someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was Here's a question for you. Who's your preacher? Who helps you uncover the richness and hope, the joyful good news of Scripture? We all need a preacher, a teacher, a guide. Who's yours? Is it Sandy? Probably. Or is it Boston? Or maybe some talented young people preaching from their hearts on a recent youth Sunday. Sometimes we find ourselves with a surprise preacher. Perhaps that would be me, Ellen, for most of you this morning. And to the Ethiopian official in our scripture reading today, it was Philip. Philip was a surprise preacher, if ever there was one. Even his mode of transportation was surprising, especially for him. The whole preaching episode was a surprise, but powerful. Philip was persuasive. His very first congregant, a wealthy official from Ethiopia, responded to his preaching by becoming a convert to Christianity. This traveler from afar heard Philip preach, asked to be baptized, and went home rejoicing. Would that all our preaching moments yield such glory? Philip was not even trained to be a preacher. He was merely a spirit-filled Greek who believed in Jesus as Christ. He had been chosen by the apostles to assist with the daily food distribution burgeoning community of followers of Jesus in Jerusalem. Thousands of new believers were joining the community of Christ every day. Philip was assigned to wait tables to feed them. He, among six others, was named a diakonos, the Greek word for deacon. And their help as deacons, essentially working in the kitchen, would free up the apostles to go out and spread the good news of the gospel, heal the sick, and baptize all who wish to follow Jesus. So when the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, sending him out to the middle of the Gaza desert in the heat of the noonday sun to preach, Philip must have been surprised. But Philip got up and went where the Spirit sent him without a word. Now notice it's the Spirit at work here. Philip just follows God's directions. And sure enough, when the Ethiopian official comes riding by in his chariot on his way home from worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem, the Spirit sends Philip to join him. The Spirit sends him for a reason, to be his preacher, his teacher, a guide. Remember, we meet the Ethiopian official riding along in his chariot, reading aloud from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, words of hope, of inclusion, of recognition at long last. But perhaps these words sounded too good to be true, but the Ethiopian wanted affirmation. We can guess that he was a God worshiper from the diaspora of Jewish influence. He believed in God's covenant community, but he could not access it. He was an excluded person, in part because he lived so far away from Jerusalem. Ethiopia was considered recounts the prophecy of Isaiah, the allusions to the suffering servant and the sacrificial lamb. We can surmise from what happens next that Philip moved from prophecy to fulfillment, to the life of Jesus and his saving death on the cross, to baptism and inclusion in the risen Christ, to the joy of belonging to God through the resurrection power of reconciliation. There in the desert, suddenly water appears. The Ethiopian official, now enlightened, now hopeful, now welcomed, now encouraged, now gets it. He shouts joyfully, "Look, there's water. What's to keep me from being baptized?" "Nothing at all," the Spirit whispers. Spirit surprises. Philip obliges, and God's newest beloved, the Ethiopian Christian, rides home rejoicing. Such good news. It's a message we need to hear again and again. The Spirit permits us passage. The Scripture shows us the way. But to make sense of it all, we need a preacher. Teacher, God, who's yours? Some of us might have read Sarah Miles' powerful memoir called Take This Bread. It came out about 10 years ago when most Christian churches were still working on welcome for the gay community. Things are so much better now, at least in the PCUSA. Back then, Sarah was an activist, a reporter, and newly married to her wife, Holly. She found herself drawn to the church the way the Ethiopian found himself drawn to Jerusalem, wanting to worship God and wanting to be included. Sarah was hungry for acceptance and hungry for God. But her journey came to an abrupt halt at the communion table. Only the initiated were welcome, she was told. Only the baptized. Yet it was communion that led her to church. Her hunger for God was physical. She wanted to taste and see how good the Lord could be. But no, she was not yet baptized, and she was different. So she delved into Scripture, the Gospel of John. We know the passage. "I am the vine," Jesus said. "You are the branches. Me, you can do nothing, but abide in me, and you will bear much fruit." How could this be, Sarah wondered, if she was being kept away from this life-giving vine? Christ's good news fell with a hollow thump. She could not find her way. She needed a teacher, a preacher, a guide. Sarah found her preacher at an Episcopal church in San Francisco near her home. Her preacher's name was Rick. He proclaimed an open table where all were welcome, the unchurched, the unreformed, the unbaptized. He pointed out that Jesus fed the stranger first, so we should too, welcoming everyone to the table, whether or not they were baptized, whether gay or straight, repentant or redeemed. If they were hungry, they were welcome. Sarah was welcome. It was the good news she needed to hear. She came to the table, and the Spirit met her there. She asked drugs and poor choices in men. He listened, and then he opened her mind to Scripture and the reconciling love of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be saved? She asked him when they met in his office the next day. Jesus comes in and tells the pawnbroker, I'll take her place on the shelf. Let her go outside again. It'll encourage her to worship at the Presbyterian Church near where she lived. He counseled her for a long time. They became close friends. Eventually, she welcomed the insistent Spirit of Christ into her life. She did it simply by taking a deep breath and saying out loud, that everywhere she turned, she heard the poetry of George Herbert come to life with joy and acceptance. And here, in dust and dirt, oh, here, the lilies of his love appear. Everywhere she looked was Easter joy. It's surprising what the Spirit can do in our lives. Who's your preacher? Who has been your teacher and guide? I discovered the richness of Scripture later in life. Like the Ethiopian official, I had the Bible in hand, but I didn't know what to make of it. The women of my home church in New York City encouraged me to join their Bible study. The associate pastor, a young woman straight out of seminary, taught us with passion and joy. Her name was Christy. Was my preacher. We studied Scripture and talked about life, about the challenges and exclusions we faced as women, and about the gifts and miracles we enjoyed as women. The wise women of Bible study were creative artists and professional cooks, mothers and grandmothers, and single women new to New York. They were women of all stripes, and they welcomed me in. We learned each other's stories and how to pray for one another, how to listen with compassion, how to read Scripture and let it work on you, how to struggle with it, and how to wonder. Soon I found myself wondering a lot. I started wondering about ministry, about becoming a minister, about whether one day I might be equipped enough to preach. Wise women told me, listen for the Spirit's call. And so it was that one morning in late spring, as I walked to the subway in Manhattan on my way to work, the Spirit spoke. In fact, it wrote me a message that would change my life. Sketched out on the sidewalk in thick white chalk letters were the words, become your dream. The message stopped me dead in my tracks. I read it again. Become your dream. It was signed by the artist Del Vega. A few paces ahead was a cartoon drawing signed by the same person. The chalk drawing was of a goldfish in a pool, with a thought bubble showing the fish's dream of getting out of the water and walking on two legs. A few paces further still, there was another cartoon, this time a fish, now on legs, was walking away from an empty fish bowl. I walked on, shaking my head. No way, I thought, was that for me? Around the next corner, there was a full-length couch propped up on its side, abandoned on the sidewalk. The cushions had been removed. And there, in big letters on the sink lining of the couch, the graffiti artist had again written, become your dream. All the way to the subway, block by block, his message kept popping up on the sidewalk, on refuse bins, and even on the subway entrance itself. Each time I read this bold message, I thought about it more, asking myself, could I possibly become my dream? How many of us saw that graffiti message and acted on it? I don't know. The graffiti would return from time to time. each time it